Hey, good afternoon. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. First day of the carnival season. It's going to be a short carnival season because Mardi Gras is so early this year. February the 17th. You know, we can only hope that February 17th is this nice. Because when Mardi Gras is early, like February 17th, there's always the chance that it is going to be a chilly Mardi Gras. But we don't know. But this is the beginning of the king cake season and the carnival season. And you heard Chris Miller say in the news that this is the first legal day to eat king cake. Now, eating king cake before King's Day, January 6th, has been decriminalized in New Orleans. So if you're caught eating it on the street, you're not going to get busted. And I know a lot of people are concerned about their kids seeing people eating king cake on the street before King's Day, January 6th. And, you know, they feel like they're breaking the law. They're doing something that is just not proper. And I think you just have to explain to your children that, you know, some people just don't want to follow the rules. All right. The Los Angeles Lakers are in town tonight against the Pelicans. Can the Pelicans get a win against the Lakers? I hope so. If you have a chance to go, go. I can't make it tonight, but I have gone to more Pelicans games this season than I did the last two seasons combined. And I'm going to continue to support the Pelicans, especially now that the Saint season is over. So we've still got a lot to get to this afternoon. Let's take a quick look at Scoot's news briefs. The new polling shows how American voters are feeling about President Trump's regime change in Venezuela.
A new poll shows what Americans think about the situation in Venezuela. There are a few signs that President Donald Trump's supporters wanted the United States to become more involved in foreign conflicts, even as many Republicans are showing an initial support for his military strike in Venezuela. That's according to a recent AP North poll. Polling found that many Americans want the U.S. government to focus in 2026 on domestic issues like healthcare and high costs rather than foreign policy issues. Meanwhile, polling conducted in the aftermath of the military operation that captured Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro suggests many Americans are unconvinced that the U.S. should step in to take control of the country. Hiya Panjwani, Washington.
All right, so if you're in Venezuela, you got to ask yourself the question, who the hell is in charge? Well, Venezuelan officials are trying to explain that to the people.
The Venezuelan government sought to show the Venezuelan people and the world that their country is being run independently and not controlled by the United States, following the stunning weekend arrest of Nicolas Maduro on charges of drug trafficking. Venezuelans' new interim president, Delcy Rodriguez, who formerly served as vice president to Maduro, called for Venezuelans to come together, while also calling Maduro and his wife heroes.
De rehenes en los Estados Unidos de Norteamérica.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says that the United States will not govern Venezuela day to day, and Rodriguez has vowed to work with the Trump administration, saying that Venezuela is seeking respectful relations with the U.S. Secretary Rubio says the U.S. is using pressure on Venezuela's oil industry as a way to push for policy changes. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Trump administration's plans to take control of Greenland by military force from a NATO ally is not very popular in Europe.
The leaders issued a statement reaffirming that the strategic mineral-rich Arctic island belongs to its people, adding it's for Denmark and Greenland, and them only, to decide on matters concerning Denmark and Greenland. The leaders of France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Spain and the UK joined Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen in defending Greenland's sovereignty in the wake of President Donald Trump's comments about Greenland, which is a self-governing territory of the Kingdom of Denmark and thus part of the NATO military alliance. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney also expressed his support and announced a visit to Greenland early next month by Canada's Governor General Mary Simon, who is of Inuk descent, and Foreign Minister Anita Anand. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
All right, one of the most visible never-Trump Republicans is giving up on the Republican Party and now running for Congress in New York as a Democrat.
George Conway, a one-time supporter of President Trump turned critic and one-time Republican turned Democrat, throws his hat in the ring for Congress, entering a crowded New York primary to succeed retiring Representative Jerry Nadler.
This is a moment where we need people who can fight Trump the way he needs to It needs to be battled.
The 62-year-old attorney is one of the founders of the Lincoln Project and was once married to former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway. He had worked in New York for decades, but had been living in Maryland until recently moving back.
This is the place that made me, and this is the place I always go back to. It'll explode to me.
Other candidates in the race include Nadler protege, state lawmaker Michael Lasher, school shooting survivor and advocate Cameron Lasky, and Jack Schlossberg, the grandson of JFK. Julie Walker, New York.
It's January the 6th. It is King's Day, King Cake Day, the beginning of the carnival season in New Orleans. But it's also the anniversary of the attack on the U.S. Capitol. And newly released testimony from Jack Smith sheds light on President Trump's actions on that infamous day.
In a closed-door interview before members of the House Judiciary Committee December 17th, former Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith said that his team of investigators found that President Donald Trump criminally conspired to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss.
The evidence here made clear that President Trump was, by a large measure, the most culpable and most responsible person in this conspiracy. These crimes were committed for his benefit.
Smith also said there is powerful evidence that Trump broke the law by hoarding classified documents from his first term at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Smith's team had filed charges against Trump in both investigations, but dropped the cases after Trump was elected to the White House last year. Donna Water, Washington.
And of course, a lot of people don't accept that information that the president was involved in trying to manipulate votes to where he won the election. You know, this very precise attack over the weekend on Venezuela. This attempt, and actually they succeeded. And congratulations to our military for succeeding in this mission. But, you know, overtaking Venezuela the way they did in order to get Nicolas Maduro and his wife, this self-proclaimed leader, this guy won an election or allegedly won an election that a lot of the people in Venezuela don't accept. They really don't accept him as the leader. It's really kind of a screwed up situation, much worse than our situation here in America. But the U.S. government took into custody Nicolas Maduro and his wife. They were taken into custody. In 2020, the last year of the Trump administration's first term, the Southern District of New York charged Maduro with narco-terrorism and conspiracy to import cocaine. Much of the coke came into the United States and had a negative impact on many American communities. In August of last year, a reward of $50 million was announced for the arrest of Maduro. This is a bad dude. The legitimacy of the election that Maduro claims he won has been in question, and the majority of the citizens of Venezuela don't even accept him as the president. So while the charges against Maduro were originally filed in 2020 during the last year of Trump's first term, that was not a huge story. I mean, I'm a talk show host. I pay attention to the big stories and we talk about them. That was not a huge story in 2020. 2020 was an election year. And I recall that there wasn't much attention paid to that, but attention paid to the election. Well, now thousands and thousands of additional documents in the Epstein files have been released from the Justice Department. And not only is Trump's name mentioned many times, but the number of times Trump was on Epstein's private jets increased significantly from the original number released. According to the newly released documents, Donald Trump flew on Epstein's private jets. Epstein had a converted Boeing 727 and several Gulfstream jets. I mean, obviously, this guy had like tons of money. So flying on Epstein's private jets doesn't prove any wrongdoing, but one has to wonder why. Why was he on the jets? Where were they going? And what were they doing on the jets? On one flight in 1993, Epstein and Trump were the only passengers on the flight logs. During another trip, there were three passengers listed on the flight logs: Epstein, Trump, and a 20-year-old who was redacted in the files. Two additional flights included two women who were described as potential witnesses in the case against Epstein's partner, Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, if they were potential witnesses, then it suggested that they were among the underage survivors of Epstein's illegal lifestyle. President Trump has condemned the release of the Epstein files as a distraction from all of the good things the Trump administration is doing for America. Others are claiming that the new interest in Venezuela and the renewed talk about taking control of Greenland are indeed distractions from the fact that Trump's name appears so often in the Epstein files and that the number of times he flew on Epstein's private jets was much more than originally reported. In 1997, a controversial movie starring Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro hit movie theaters nationwide. I saw this movie. I remember how profound it was, and I remember talking about it on the air. This movie fed the suspicion that presidents are not above manipulating foreign policy to distract from controversies that involve their presidencies. The title of the movie was Wag the Dog. Some of you may remember. In the movie, the president of the United States started a war with a rather insignificant country to distract from a sex scandal in which the president was involved. Could the renewed interest in Venezuela and the threat to take over Greenland be examples of Wag the Dog? If the American people have learned anything about this administration, it is that anything is possible. Throughout modern history, respect for the Constitution has been an unwavering factor that has held the actions of presidents within an acceptable and legal playing field. But some of the actions and suggested actions of the current administration show an unprecedented disrespect for the Constitution. And that raises legitimate questions about the premise of the movie, Wag the Dog. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Just bringing up the possibility that this is a distraction because, as I have said, there are a lot of things that people can do wrong. But having sex with underage girls is something that not many people will survive. If it is true that the current president was involved in the past in having sex with underage girls, is that something he can survive? I'm not sure he thinks he can. And the question that remains is, if he is innocent, then why doesn't he release the files? Why are the files so redacted? I understand that some things need to be redacted to protect the identities, but that can be done without other things being redacted. I doubt that there's any black pens left in Washington, D.C., felt pens left because they're blacking out so much stuff. Now, the redactions are a suggestion that they're hiding something. And then all this other stuff is coming up, and I don't think it's fair to just let the Epstein files go. And when there's new information, we're going to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, then we are among those who are protecting pedophiles. And protecting pedophiles in our society today is something that is totally unacceptable. And anybody who is not in favor of releasing the Epstein files seems to vicariously be supporting pedophiles. I think we should know if a president was involved. And how are we going to know if there's so much redaction? And why is there so much redaction? And if you're not guilty of it, then just release the files. But there is a reason why the files are not being released. There's a reason why there's so much material that's redacted in the files that are released. And all this does is cause legitimate questions to be asked. And we'll continue to ask some of those questions. If you have a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, Tuesday, January the 6th. It is the first week of the new year. Back to reality for many of you who had a great time during Christmas and New Year's. So, it's going to be a long week, but the weekend's going to be here before you know it. And let's just hope it's a funky new year. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, it was on this day in 1953 that Malcolm Young was born. He would have been 72 years old today had he not died back in 2017. But man, give AC/DC credit, man. Even losing Malcolm Young, a key member, they went on and survived after that point. Look, here's some positive news. Oreo Reese's Cookies have made a comeback, and they're going to be available nationwide. It's Oreo Reese's cookies. It's kind of a trans cookie. You know, it's it's Oreos, but it's also Reese's. So it's a regular Oreo. It looks like a regular Oreo, but in between the layers of the cookie sandwich, there's a Reese's peanut butter cream and chocolate with sprinkles of Oreo cookies inside. The counterpart of that is Reese's Oreo cups, which are look like a Reese's cup, but on the inside, it's like a cream with Oreo cookies mixed in there. So sounds pretty good to me. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. We're going to do an instant text off here in just a few minutes on the idea of January the 6th. This is an important day in our country's history. And I think it's important to at least mention this and to talk about this because it's going to be really interesting to witness how history records this day. In my lifetime, this was one of, if not the darkest days in American history because of the nature of what happened and because of the facts surrounding the day. There's a lot of misinformation about this day, but it was, in no uncertain terms, an attack on the U.S. Capitol. And that's something this was as unheard of as the idea that that foreign terrorists would come into this country, learn to fly planes, and crash them into buildings. When 9/11 happened, Americans just thought, how in the world could this have happened in our country? How could this have happened? But it happened. And our guard was down. And we had developed a false sense of security. The Cold War was over. And I believe America developed a false sense of security. And we just didn't think that this would happen. And think about the cognizance that we have today for foreign terrorists and domestic terrorists as well. But what happened on this day was a horrible thing. Now, it's not fair to judge all Republicans. It's not fair to judge all conservatives. It's not fair to judge all Trump supporters based on what happened on January the 6th. It's not fair to lump everybody in the same group. There are fanatical people on both sides of the political aisle. There are left-wing radicals and there are right-wing radicals. And these people are willing to go to great lengths. In fact, their belief in their politics supersedes their belief in the Constitution, their belief in America. You know, it's interesting that the most anti-government groups are the separatists, white separatists in particular. They hate the government. They are prepared. Look, I've worked with people in this business. I've worked with people who had this mentality. I don't work with anybody who has this mentality now, and I haven't worked with anybody in recent years. But there have been two times in particular when I worked with people who had this mentality of being separatist. They were prepared to live on their own, off the grid. They were stockpiling canned goods and foods edible if something bad happens, if they can't depend on going to the store. They would stockpile guns and ammunition, and they were ready for war. And they were anti-government. They were anti-America. They were anti-Constitution. I mean, they're very hypocritical because of their, you know, use of the Second Amendment to support owning guns, which I support, by the way. But, you know, there are separatists in this country that do not reflect mainstream America. They do not reflect mainstream Republicans and mainstream conservatives. They don't even reflect mainstream Republican Trump supporters. So, you know, if it doesn't apply to you, then don't take it personally. But there are radicals who are anti-government, and they're anti-government even beyond the current president. They just don't believe in the government. The best way to describe it is they're simply anti-government. What I'd like to do is I'd like to do just a very quick instant text off. And we do this once in a while. We're just going to do it through this break. And the question is, will history record January 6th as patriotic or unpatriotic? Now, this is just a sample of our audience. It's just a sample of the people who are going to take time to respond to this. So this is not an accurate reflection of our audience. But I do have a feeling about how this poll is going to turn out. So I encourage you that regardless of how you feel, don't not participate in the poll if you can participate in the poll, because I don't want it skewed by people on one side who are overwhelmingly going to respond. And I think that's going to happen. But anyway, we'll see. So how is history going to record January 6th and the attack on the U.S. Capitol? Is history going to say this was a patriotic day or an unpatriotic day? So we'll do an instant text off. So text the word patriotic or unpatriotic to the Oaken Heart text line 504-260-1870. Instant text off. How will history record this day, January 6th, and the attack on the Capitol? Patriotic or unpatriotic? Text patriotic or unpatriotic to the Oaken Heart text line 504-260-1870. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, this is fun to talk about because people have talked about this over the years. On this day in 1973, Carly Simon's song "You're So Vain" was number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. This was the number one song in the country. I was in the business by this time, and I was playing this song on the air. There was a lot of speculation about who Carly Simon was talking about. Who did she write this song about? Well, I think it was 2015 she revealed in an interview who she wrote the song about. But a lot of people were speculating who the song was about. The song is titled "You're So Vain," and listen to the lyrics. It was an ex-lover of Carly Simon. And so listen to the lyrics, and I'll tell you who she wrote the song about. You may already know. There was a lot of talk about the song being about Mick Jagger. In fact, Mick Jagger does background vocals in this song, but do you know who Carly Simon wrote this song about? Warren Beatty, her ex-lover. And, you know, Warren Beatty, great-looking guy. I mean, he was one of the hottest-looking people in Hollywood at the time, and apparently Carly Simon had a relationship with him and wrote the song about him. And we all know people just like Warren Beatty. All right, so the instant text-off is, do you think a history will record today, January 6th, and the attack on the Capitol as patriotic or unpatriotic? Text the word patriotic or unpatriotic to the Oaken Heart text line 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We'll have the results coming up next. On this day in 1958, this was the number one song in America. Danny Jr., Danny and the Juniors at the Hop. I think this was one of the big songs on the soundtrack for American Graffiti. Classic rock and roll song. I mean, I was still pretty young at the time. I mean, I kind of knew about I knew about rock and roll, but you know, I wasn't really. I didn't really start paying attention until the Beatles in 1964. I want to remind you tonight at 7 o'clock. This is huge. Voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, his final Saints hour, and he'll spend time talking about this incredible lineup, talking about the season with quarterback Tyler Shuck, defensive end Cam Jordan, defensive end Chase Young, center Eric McCoy, Charlie Smith, and others. That's tonight, 7 o'clock, Mike Haas, Voice of the Saints, the final Saints hour of the season. 7 o'clock tonight on Saints Radio, WWL AM-FM, and WWL.com. Hey, there's a lot of flu going around, and I mentioned when I was flying back from Portland the other day, man, there were so many people around me coughing and sneezing. It is a miracle I didn't get sick. Because there's a lot of stuff flying around, and this is not only here, but just around the country. All right, Coleman, were you able to add up? It looks like we got really good response to the instant text-off question. Were you able to keep track of that?
I was.
Oh, good for you.
So,
let me just repeat the question. So, the question is, was this day, January 6th, well, okay, will this day, January 6th, the day of the attack on the U.S. Capitol, will history record this day as patriotic or as unpatriotic. And let's get the results from Coleman.
Okay, so 3% say patriotic, which means that 97% of the people that text in, over 100 people, over 100 different text messages, said this would be remembered as an unpatriotic day. Now, I did have to remove one because they text back and say, oops, I meant unpatriotic. And then one of the people that was patriotic were being sarcastic, so I didn't really count that one.
Okay, well, it wasn't even close. So I'm surprised. I'm so proud of the audience. I'm very proud of the audience, and it just it's a reminder that we're attracting people who see things as they are. I mean, one of the comments that I read was, "I support Trump," but that was an unpatriotic thing for people to do. You know, you are not defined if you're a Republican or a conservative. If you're a Trump supporter, you are not necessarily defined by the people who did that. They were, by their own admission, Trump supporters. But they don't define you. They don't define all Trump supporters and all Republicans and all conservatives. They were a right-wing radical faction of the Republican Party. And the great irony is they did a lot of damage to the image of the Republican Party because they misrepresented the Republican Party. They misrepresented conservatives and Trump supporters by doing what they did. They attacked law enforcement. They totally defied what the president was. All right, look, I know when we get into this, the president never told them to go. There was a lot of rhetoric that maybe invited them to go, but he never told them to go. But again, you know, you have to remember that there are such radical members of the right and the left that it's not fair to define all Trump Republicans by what happened on January the 6th. But let's be honest about what happened. It wasn't Antifa. It wasn't Democrats who were secretly trying to make Republicans look bad. I mean, those were some of the ridiculous things that we heard in the beginning. It was people who really thought that Donald Trump wanted them to do that. That's what they said. When they were going to jail, that was their confession, that they thought they were acting on Trump's words, and they thought Trump was going to bail them out. He ultimately did. And we mentioned earlier the guy who became known as the QAnon shaman, the guy who was like no shirt, and then he was wearing the animal, you know, animal furs and had the big horns sticking out of his head, kind of like the Yak Woman, you know, ugly as sin, but a hell of a cook. Anyway, that guy has now divorced himself from the president, saying he no longer sides with the president, but he certainly did that day. So, you know, a lot of people got the wrong message, but there were a lot of people who maintained a rational attitude. There were a lot of people who did not bite on the bait, and they didn't do the wrong thing. But this was a shocking day in American history, and I am so proud of this audience. I'm so proud of the people that we are gathering here in the afternoon on WWL that it's really heartwarming, because I thought this poll was going to turn out to be quite the other way, where patriotic was going to totally dominate because there were people who just want to make that point that it wasn't us, it was the other people. You know, there's nothing wrong with being honest about reality. And one of the things that really drove me away from talking about politics every day was the idea that people were no longer honest. Too many people calling in and texting in were not honest about reality. And I don't want to have a conversation with those people. That's not fun. And it gets into ridiculous arguments. And the show's so much better now, so I don't want to belabor that. But with 97% saying that it will be recorded as an unpatriotic day, and I totally agree with that. I am so proud of this audience that I'm overwhelmed. So it's really that's really cool. All right, if you want to join us, well, actually, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. Sports Talk is coming up next. Look, we're going to be talking tomorrow about the college playoffs that are coming up. I mean, some unbelievable college games. Can you believe that Alabama only scored like 3 points? I think the game was in Miami. Man, who's going to win these big games coming up? There's a big game Thursday night, at a big game Friday night, and then the wild card playoffs are Saturday and Sunday and Monday night. So we're going to talk about all of that on the show tomorrow. And we'll be back to wrap up the show coming up. All right, on the SOT calendar, on this day in 1968, the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour began an eight-week run as the number one album in America on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. This was after Sgt. Pepper, and it was just another advancement in the library of the Beatles, the very diverse library of the Beatles. All right, I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back. You're listening to WWL. All right, so as we start this new year together, 2026, let's keep our head up and be positive. And Sports Talk with Mike Dettelier and Steve Geller coming up next. And again, the final Saints Hour with Voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, is coming up next with Tyler Shuck, Cam Jordan, Chase Young, Eric McCoy, Charlie Smith, and others. And that is at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. And today, January 6th, on the very positive side, is the beginning of the Mardi Gras season. It is the beginning of the king cake season. And you know if you eat king cake before January 6th, you are going to hell. Now, I know a lot of parents don't pass this on to their kids. And they eat king cake before January 6th, never telling them that they're hellbound. Anyway, king cake is available year-round now, but this is the official day we're supposed to start munching on king cake. So get out there and enjoy your favorite. The Funny 40 Fellows take their annual streetcar ride tonight, and the Joan of Arc Parade is tonight as well. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, studio producer Coleman, Dan Barron, Chris Miller, Courtney P., and thank you for being part of the show. Love you, New Orleans.